It's time to get way down low, below top secret.
Wait a minute.
Current events,
sports,
arts,
entertainment,
food topics,
automotive topics,
relationships. It's all here. Now, from belowtopsecret.com, this is the BTS Mix.
Welcome to the BTS Mix Show. I'm Spencer Tracy.
And I'm Doc Hancock, and a very financially fun week for you, Mr. Spencer, and myself, and all Americans. It certainly has been a roller coaster ride, to say the least.
Oh, we're recording this Tuesday night. Monday, I'm sitting here watching the TV, and I'm watching the partisanship go on. And you're just mad because, and what's your fault because, you know what amazes me about these idiots in Congress is they can pass themselves a pay raise anytime they want, but they can't pull their heads out of their butts long enough to solve a little financial crisis other than say, let's throw more money at it. It's amazing to me that they're doing this.
Yeah, I was thinking about legislating in some bitch slaps for all of them, just for being idiots, man. This whole thing is just out of control. And what dawned on me the other day, isn't the election year the time when all politicians are trying to make everything look as rosy and as dandy as possible? And if this is the rosy side of that coin, man, we are in some deep, deep trouble come after the election and after the first of the year, man. Because if this is the best they can pull out of the hat, we're in some serious trouble, to say the very least.
Well, I think they are in serious trouble. I have never seen this much angst and anger at Congress over this supposed bailout plan, when it's obviously that it's probably not the right course to do. And you know, I'm a big fan of Dave Ramsey. I enjoy his program. I think he's got a good head on his shoulders. And he actually talked to some financial experts, and they said, here, let's do this. It will basically jumpstart the economy. Our housing woes will be over because it's going to jumpstart that. We'll have a very strong housing market by the spring of next year. And it's just laid out, you know, several different points. You know, removing the capital gains tax, that's going to kickstart the economy, immediately put money back in, stabilize Wall Street, and yet nobody's paying attention to him. And I love it that he's got this up on his website. By the way, go to DaveRamsey.com and you can pull up the little PDF document there and then send it to your representatives. These idiots, I swear, if they vote for this, all of them are going to be voted out of office. People are so pissed at them right now, and for good reason, because they can't do anything except vote themselves pay raises and bitch and moan about, well, it's your fault and it's your fault and I think America has had enough.
Absolutely. Bitch slaps for them all. That's what I have to say. And on a lighter note, with this entire financial crisis, our good friend, what do you know, the ATS concierge, has come in with a little a humor enlightenment, I think, with this whole topic. And I'm sure we can all use a little bit of that right now. And everybody knows this is serious. I don't think there's an American out there right now that doesn't have some clue as to what's going on. And he writes in this great thread, and this is in the Jokes, Puns, and Pranks forum, and he says, a man robs bank, has to wait for J.P. Morgan to finish robbing the bank first. The location, Manhattan. Local bank robber Carl Lewis sought to rob the Chase Manhattan Bank at 3 Times Square in New York, but was foiled by his attempt by the bank already being held up by financial service giant J.P. Morgan. The robber, identified as financial giant J.P. Morgan, seemingly obviously to the robber, denied comment even as several police officers idly stood by and watched the robbery commence. Carl Lewis was amazed at the skill and seemingly stealthy robbery by the financial firm, as no one seemed a bit distressed in the lobby. I was expecting at least two gunmen with everyone on the floor, but there were just representatives in suits calmly robbing the branch of all of its assets. The bank employees didn't even seem terrified by the robbery. These guys are real pros, Lewis said as he walked down the street, his ski mask pulled up on his head. Carl plans on robbing another bank sometime in the future, but worries that the economic problems lately, if he will be able to find the next bank he plans to rob, will already be robbed by a financial giant as well. That's kind of true. You know, I was reading about the Washington Mutual, or WaMu, failure. And, of course, we all know that was the largest savings and loan, American savings and loan, ever to collapse in the history of the world, the history of the world. And, you know, who was it that went in and bought them?
Was it Wells Fargo, I think, wasn't it?
I think it was, I actually think it was J.P. Morgan.
It might have been.
I think it was J.P. Morgan Chase, and they went in and bought a $308 billion company for $1.9 billion.
It's a fire sale.
It really was. And you know, it's like somebody coming up and saying, you want this new 42-inch plasma screen TV for $5? Of course, yeah, take it. Let's do it. Good deal.
Yeah, well, it's a good deal for somebody. And I think that's what Americans are getting tired of. I mean, obviously, nobody sold this idea very well of, oh, well, you know, these are what the Treasury Secretary and everybody else and the Federal Reserve people say, oh, we've got to throw $700 billion at this. Really? Really? We have to do that, huh? No, we really don't have to do that. Here's my take, Doc. I think that the stock market was a little overinflated. Of course, you've got oil speculation going crazy. You know, Donald Trump made the observation that, hey, have you noticed oil prices have really come down? Yeah, because no matter what kind of news, whether you get good news or bad news, gas prices always go up. So the people who were speculating on these commodities and driving the market crazy, well, they kind of took a little hit. Well, oh, break my heart. And we're seeing some, you know, an adjustment, a correction, which is a good correction for us in the oil markets, because, you know, we're seeing some drop in prices there. I think, you know, this is something that goes on all the time. I mean, this, you overinflate the market. You have the Fed pumping a lot of money into the economy and just kind of overheating it. And then you've got this runaway speculation that was going on in the market. And then now here's something, and maybe somebody can help me with this. If you will find this, there was some banking legislation that stopped banks from using money to speculate back in 1933 with FDR. Now, I think recently as 3 to 5 years ago, the government said, oh, we're going to do away with that legislation. And I think that had probably doesn't have something to do with what we're seeing now. It may. We don't have leaders in government that pay attention to the past and learn from history. Instead, we're doomed to repeat it, evidently.
Yes, we are, unfortunately so. And I think the real problem here, Spencer, is that everybody kept assuming that all of what's happening right now depended on the fact that home prices would continue to rise. And nobody thought, oh, well, what happens if they start to decline for whatever reason? And that pretty much sealed the coffin on a lot of different people. And, you know, I actually had the chance to speak with a derivatives trader last night. And, you know, derivatives are these weird instruments of the financial market that nobody can really explain or understand. I mean, even Warren Buffett can't explain what they are. He doesn't understand them, and he stays as far away from them as possible. And when you have one of our preeminent investors saying, look, I don't even understand this stuff, I'm going to stay away from it, you know that there's an issue going on right there. And I had a chance to speak with a derivatives trader last night, and I point blank asked him, I said, what the hell is a derivative? And he basically said, you know, it's a way, the way he put it to me was that if say someone lives off of a bond and they have bonds, and that's what generates the majority of their income, and they get paid off of those bonds every 6 months. Well, he said, you know, do you pay your rent every 6 months? Do you pay your utility bills every 6 months? No. You want to get your money monthly so you can, you know, pay your bills and take care of everything that you need to take care of. He said, so what we do is we actually buy, you know, the equity off of those bonds and then distribute that wealth to you on a monthly basis, and then we take a fee. And I said, well, wait a second, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And why then, how then can the derivatives market be worth $1,300 trillion? And for the layman, that's $1.3 quadrillion, if you can even wrap your mind around that number. I can't even fathom it. And, you know, and he ultimately ended up telling me what they would do is you sell that same piece of paper around the board and it begins to lose value, but everybody presumably has sold it for its actual face value. So you're literally, as it goes through these cycles and ends up with somebody's ending up with a piece of junk because the value has been torn out of it. No one's making any money off of it, even though they've sold it as if they were. And that's fine so long as the value of things keeps increasing. But the second things start to decline and the actual real value of things starts to go down, it becomes increasingly obvious on those balance sheets that paper is worth absolutely nothing. Yet everybody has some of that bad debt on their balance sheets, some more than others, some less than others. It just depends on your exposure to it. So, you know, this whole thing, and it's about to go deeper than the mortgage crisis. It's going to start to go into the consumer credit crisis. That's our next big hurdle to cross. The average American, I think, is $100,000 in debt. And there's a mountain of problems that we still have to face that go far and above and beyond this mortgage crisis. And sorry, folks, $700 billion, even if it's just meant to throw some confidence into the market, isn't going to touch anything. As sad as that sounds, $700 billion is a drop in the bucket compared to how much bad paper and how many bad loans and investments are out there.
You know, Doc, that sounds just like a pyramid scheme. That's exactly what that sounds like.
Oh, well, and I've got a bridge in Alaska to sell to you. What I'm saying? It's unbelievable what these guys have gotten away with. And the people regulating them were just getting a cut of the deal. They were just getting cuts and shares of the deal. So why, if you're making $50 million a year, would you want to say anything about this? And that's the crux of it. You know, it's you can't let the sheriff get a piece of the action, too. You just can't do that. And that's what's happened, and that's what's put us here.
And hence, oh, by the way, thank you for what you know. That's going to jump us into our next thread in the rant. I want to join the Illuminati. This is posted by BigVig316. And he posts, or she posts, we don't know. We're, you know, equal opportunity posters here. I want to join the Illuminati. Yes, folks, I want to join the Illuminati. I want to be a person of power and privilege. They seem to have all the money, wealth, women, power, and control over everything. They are so ingrained into our culture and control what we eat, drink, and think. I have been a believer in Alex Jones and Jim Mars, but I see how they get bullied and made to look like they don't know what they're talking about, getting them pushed around and discredited and sometime, in Alex's case, detained for no reason. So I say, why fight them? How can I join them? I want to be a member. Where do I sign up?
And I think this is a great post. Whether he truly legitimately means what he's saying, he or she means what they're saying, or whether this is a bit of a farce post, you know, I think a lot of people are sitting around wondering, you know, how do I, you know, as much as I think, you know, these Wall Street barons are hated, you know, you almost have to ask yourself, well, how can I do that? How can I get a hold of some of this hundreds of millions of dollars that all these guys are playing around with and swimming in their swimming pools with? You know, how can I get my hands on some of that? And there is that temptation to ask, well, how can I fly into that dark side? You know, can I zap people with my lightning fingertips too? You know, and I think that's a very valid question, and it certainly brings up the ethical moray of our time. I'm not sure, though, where you would sign up to become a part of the Illuminati. That might be a little difficult.
I'm sure that someone will post this or is monitoring this podcast right now that will be in contact with us shortly. I think, you know, because of Big's avatar, which is Captain America, this is a sarcastic post, but it is a funny one, and if you'd like to sound off on it, please feel free to join the rant. I want to join the Illuminati thread. And put your thoughts in there, too.
And speaking of enlightening topics, we have something in our Breaking General News Forum. And this is pretty hilarious. This is posted by Birdman30-06, and it says, a man passes gas charged with battery on an officer. And this was when police were trying to get fingerprints. Police say Cruz moved closer to the officer and passed gas on him. The investigating officer remarked in the criminal complaint that the odor was very strong. Cruz is now charged with battery on a police officer as well as DUI and obstruction. You've got this drunk guy getting fingerprinted in the station. They took him downtown, and he had a little sicked a little barking spider on the police officer and gave him something to go home tell the kids about. Wow. That's one way of dealing with things, I guess.
Yeah, I have to tell you this. I went riding. I get invited occasionally by the local police force here to go riding with them on their drunk roundup. You know, recently I lost a friend to a drunk driver, middle of the afternoon. You know, it wasn't at night. It wasn't on a dark road. It was in the middle of the afternoon, just killed by this kid who's drunk and on drugs and whatever. So they asked, you know, hey, you know, are you okay? You want to go with us? And I said, yeah, I'll go with you. And it's amazing when you, and this is what I'm going to do, and you should probably do this for your kids. Find a cool police officer, if you know somebody, and ask them to go on a ride sometime. And maybe take your kid right before, you know, right when they're starting to train for their driver's license, and let them see what goes on. Some of the excuses, and it's always the same thing. I've only had two beers. And then we got this one guy in the car. Funny. Obviously was drunker than a skunk. Hands the police officer his hunting license. Because he doesn't have a driver's license. Because why? Oh, he has a previous DUI. Duh. So So he hands him his hunting license. Oh, that's really me. Well, why do you have this other guy's wallet in your car with his ID?
I'm holding it for him.
Okay. Well, a little suspicious at that point. So the police officer goes back to the guy's car and starts looking through it. And then I'm sitting in the back seat listening to this guy going, I can give him permission to go through my car. And it's like, that's...
Your breath gave him permission to go through your car, buddy. I hate to tell you.
Oh, man, if I'd have lit that, we would have exploded the car. And I think I read recently that they actually dropped charges of assault on this guy. But the fact that they filed him for him tooting... That's just, I'm sorry, that's just too funny.
That's a misdemeanor tooting, sir. You just, man, I'll tell you though, but that brings up a pretty good point. We gotta start really cracking down on these drunk drivers, man. What a bunch of holes. what a bunch of b-holes these guys are. And, man, I'll tell you, we need to come up with some sort of stricter punishment, and I think it needs to be something along the lines of public humiliation. I mean, if we could create half of the entertainment that you had riding along with those police officers, that would be hilarious. Just to put these guys on public display, you want to create a reality TV show, humiliate these guys in front of the entire country, and well, maybe that wouldn't be a good idea. Maybe that would lead them to more drinking, and then they want to drive around some more. Who knows? But you know, something's got to be done with these guys because they're just a danger. And I can go on and on about this, but everybody knows drunk driving is stupid, and those who don't, well, figure it out. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, but don't kill anybody in the process, please. This is kind of an aside. Birdman 30-06, I love your logo. I've been a big fan of the Twilight Zone forever, and picture a man going on a journey beyond sight and sound. So I thought I'd put together a little mix for you, a little Twilight Zone mix. Now, for something totally different.
Mix Show worldwide at BelowTopSecret.com.
In today's America, technology empowers the public in nearly everything they do.
Tonight, boredom.
And welcome back, everybody, to the BTS Mix Show. I'm Doc Hancock.
And I'm Spencer Tracy. And recently, I got to dress up as Yul Brynner for an event. I love costume parties. I love dressing up in costume, becoming a different character. I think it's the actor in me. And you're probably this way too, Doc, aren't you?
Yeah, no, I my favorite thing, I love dressing up as a pirate for some reason. I really can't explain it other than the theatrical side of me, I have to say.
A pirate, huh?
Yeah, I love pirates, man. Pirates and ninjas, pretty much, you know. But back when we were discussing who would win in a fight, a pirate or a ninja, I was just going crazy inside. There were like little fireworks going off inside of me. It was amazing.
Well, this one's posted in the General Chit Chat Forum. Halloween, parties, costumes, ideas, orange light posts. I guess the American members are much more familiar with Halloween than those living on the old continent, but it comes more and more popular in Europe, becomes more popular in Europe. So how do you generally celebrate Halloween? Trick and treat is only a kid's fun, but how do the non-kids celebrate it? How do you dress up? What is your favorite costume? Your favorite party? Story that happened at Halloween? And I do like what Volt posted. I go as a transgenic escaped from Manticore.
Question mark. That's great. That's great. Well, you know, this poses a good, because I think everybody kind of has their own idea of how to celebrate Halloween. And of course, the kids love the candy. And, you know, I think adults use Halloween as a psychological extension of things that they have to keep, you know, inhibited all year long. And it's very, very strange. And there's the adult Halloween version is very interesting to me, because on the male side, you know, it's all these guys and they're dressing up as superheroes, or they're dressing up as, you know, and it seems like most women's costumes are just slutty versions of things. Like, I'm going to be a slutty cat for Halloween, or I'm going to be a slutty witch for Halloween. And there are all these costumes that are like these low cleavage, short skirted, you know, nurses don't wear those outfits. Witches don't wear those outfits. Cats don't look like that, for crying out loud. Is this just an excuse to kind of, you know, tramp it up a little bit? I noticed last Halloween, and don't get me wrong, hey, I'm not making any bones about it. Ha ha ha. No pun intended. But man, you know, it was crazy. I was looking around the Halloween party and I was like, everyone in here is literally dressed like, men and women almost, were dressed like complete tramps. And I was thinking, has this become a more of a sexual holiday than anything else? And maybe it was just the party I was at. I don't know. But that was just my observation from a couple Halloweens past.
Yeah, you know, that's a great observation, though, Doc. I mean, it really is. I mean, I think women feel like they can become more more outgoing, more gregarious than they normally could, more and having to be reserved all the time. And guys, of course, get to live out their fantasy of the little kid fantasy. I always wanted to be a cowboy, or I always wanted to be a superhero, or I wanted to be a Roman in a toga. You know, it's interesting, and you kind of get a peek, a little window into people's psychology, into their mind, and maybe, you know, their desires and stuff, which is kind of cool. And I, you know, I don't gripe either. I kind of like the nurse's outfit. My wife does a great Jeannie from I Dream of Jeannie. Oh man, well, I can't send you pictures, but yeah. I can't wait for her to get home. Hey honey, put on the Jeannie costume again.
Ooh, Jeannie costume. Well, what are you going as this Halloween, Spencer? Are you going to keep the Yul Brynner theme?
Here's the weird thing. You know, I shaved my head for two reasons, one of which is a guy's going through some chemo where I work. So I thought, yeah, that's a good way to support him. But I've had so many people say, wow, that is such a cool look for you. You can actually pull it off. You don't have like a cone head, which is, you know, good news for me. And evidently my parents didn't drop me on my head too much, so I don't have big dents in my head. But I'm doing a role this winter, and I'm going to have to grow some hair back. So for me, it's almost a little bit too cold to wear in the wintertime. But, you know, I may keep it. I may keep it for springtime and summertime in West Texas. I kind of like the short look. Sometimes I'll go as what I went in this little celebrity thing that we do, which would be Yul Brynner. I mean, I have the outfit. But then I think about that whole polyester allergy thing, and yeah, no, I don't think I'm going to do that.
Yeah, if I recall, you and polyester don't get along very well.
For those of you who missed the podcast, you can go back a couple and hear this story. It was amazing. Evidently, I think it's not necessarily the polyester, but maybe the black dye in the polyester. And if you've ever seen, imagine the worst allergic reaction on your skin that you've ever seen, to where the whelps come up like a quarter inch. That's pretty much what it was like for about 3 days for me. So, yeah, I'm probably just going to stay at home and throw Tootsie Rolls at the kids who come up to the window.
Get out of here, you crazy little kids. Take these Tootsie Rolls. Ah!
Or dress up as a ninja, hang out in the tree, and scare them as they get candy.
Yeah, and whip Tootsie Rolls at them like Shoryuken or Ninja Stars. That would be pretty excellent, I think.
I've got to tell you, the fact that you said Shoryuken, which I can't say, and that you actually knew what those were, impresses the heck out of me. I totally believe you're a ninja freak.
I told you, man. I'm so into ninjas and I'm so into pirates. I'm not as down with the pirate accoutrement as I am with ninja accoutrement. I try and stay up on my ninja logos pretty well, but you know, it's It's a big thing of mine, I gotta tell you. I'm thinking as I grow to be an elderly gentleman, I'll probably do ninjas or pirates in a bottle, try and assemble them in a bottle like a ship. I think that could be a fun hobby.
Okay, from a nightmare on Elm Street to a real nightmare, in the Breaking General News Forum, Killing Ends a Lifetime of Spousal Abuse. This is posted by Dimensional Detective. It's a snippet from the Miami Herald. Bullied and threatened for years to the point of near suicide, Cassandra Johnson pulled a gun and shot her estranged husband in the head at a Liberty City strip mall in 1993. She escaped a murder charge. For the next 16 years, she rebuilt her life, undergoing intense counseling, cleaning condos for work, doting over her 24 grandchildren, until her next husband killed her, police say. Randy Limpkins, father of the first child, stabbed her 22 times and pummeled her face with a hammer earlier this month, Miami-Dade police say. Limpkins surrendered to police September 12th, only after leaving her body to rot in his apartment for 4 days.
This is just one of those stories that completely reverses any hope you might have in humankind. You know, I read these stories and they just kill me. You know, you want to have hope in humanity. You want to have hope that there are decent people out there, and they hopefully mean the best. But you read a story like this, and it's just hard, you know, to have that attitude and mentality. I mean, what a monster, first of all, for killing her. And this is just a buffet, and I hate to use that term, of psychoanalysis and understanding where these people were coming from and what sort of childhood they had and how they were raised and where they were raised and what made it acceptable to commit this behavior or hang out around this behavior. I just don't understand. And Dimensional Detective brings up a pretty good point. And he says, you know, this gal kills her first abusive spouse, then dies at the hands of another. I'll leave the psychoanalysis and the psychologist here on board. But this appears to be one of those cases where someone tends to lean towards certain personality types over and over. And in this case, it seems to be concurrent with a lifetime of pure chaos and abuse, culminating in a violent demise. I'm sure more often than not, this is culminated and incubated with a childhood of abuse as well. Truly sad story. Some folks just seem to get cut no breaks in life. Hopefully she's at peace now. And this guy gets put away for life, sigh. And, man, that's so very true. I mean, I understand the argument where people are drawn to these personalities. But, you know, what could possibly lead a person to do something that vicious and that heinous? It just kills me.
Well, and a lot of people want to blame – well, not a lot of people. There are some people that like to blame the victim for what happens. And nobody wants to get the heck beat out of them. They really don't. Nikki Knox posted, people who tend to be abusive come off at the beginning as the greatest person you'd ever meet. So people tend to date serial abusers because they look for a nice guy. I think they find one, and then they turn into an abuser. This woman must have a codependent personality that attracts these types. It's really a hard thing to figure out. And Doc, remember a show that we did, like the first one or two or three programs that we did? We had a lady on that talked about, you know, relationships and dating and online dating and things like that. And we talked about the fact that, you know, if you get into that pattern, if you get into that cycle, that vicious cycle of picking the wrong person, it may be you picking the wrong person. And that, you know, I'm not trying to blame the victim. I'm just saying that there may be some things in your head that you need to change your outlook in and quit picking the wrong people. If you always pick that particular type of person, then you need to go and take some serious analysis and a serious look at what you're doing and what mental things or what mental blocks or paradigms are plugged in that make you pick that person each time, and get out of that cycle and then find somebody great that's going to love you the rest of your life. And if you are in an abusive relationship right now, get out. We can't stress that enough. If it is an abusive relationship, male or female, get out of that relationship, and then don't think you're going to change these people. Please don't stay, well, if I stay, what will they do? Or if I stay, I know they'll get better. No, they will get worse. The best thing for you to do is get out and get some help. And then if they want to change and get counseling and they jump through some hoops to stop the abuse, great. But don't stay in that type of relationship.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
All right. So we're going to get on to a lighter topic right now. And that is, I love this one. General Chit Chat revealed radical cleric Bakir's pole dancing daughter. Bow, chicka, wow, wow. Chicka, waka, chicka, waka, chicka, waka, chicka. Yeah, this is posted by Jericho 65, the daughter of a firebrand cleric, Omar Bakri Mohammed Yasmin Fostok, might be expected to share his fanatical beliefs, but the radical Muslim's daughter has ditched his extreme interpretation of Islam, as well as most of her clothing. The busty blonde has been revealed as a topless tattooed pole dancer.
Yeah, man. You know, and there is always, no matter what race, religion, creed, color, doesn't matter, there is always some sort of sweet, sweet, sweet justice when these fanatics, these idiots who just force their beliefs on people and are, you know, so stringent and they are holier than thou and so forth and so on, to find out that, you know, their life is less than perfect, and sometimes in big ways, whether if it be, you know, seeking certain sexual activities in male restrooms and airports, or whether it be, you know, seeking certain encounters in the Oval Office, or whether it be, you know, any variety of things, man. This is hilarious when this stuff happens, and, you know, rock and roll, and hopefully it kind of dethrones this guy, because this stuff is just ridiculous, and everybody knows it. And it's awesome to see that his daughter was like, yeah, you know what? Screw that. I'm going to go be a pole dancer. You know, whatever. See you guys later.
Throwing off the burqa and putting on the G-string, baby.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, this is, and you mentioned this, this is something that, you know, in America, we call these kids PKs, which are pastor's kids. And they are, some of them seem more rebellious because of a stringent, structured lifestyle, whether that, I wouldn't translate that necessarily as a fanatical belief, but I would say because of a structured, overstructured maybe, and always being under the eye of a lot of people, you have to act this way, or you have to be this way, or you have to do that. Instead of finding their own path and just being their own person, they feel like they're expected to be a certain way. And when it snaps, when it goes, bing, I'm done, then they go running the opposite direction. They just... And you know, in America, we call them PKs, but obviously this is something the clerics will have to work with. Of course, you know, you don't have other pastors actually saying that you should be, unless it's that weird church, you know, like in Wichita. What is that weird church that, you know, they think everybody's going to hell and they march on soldiers' funerals and stuff, like just crazy.
Oh, yeah, that horrible church in the South.
Nutcases.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Just nutcases. But, you know, you usually don't have people saying, well, your daughter's twisted off. You must be killed. You know, they kind of do that over there, which is kind of, I'm wondering if this guy is getting death threats or strange looks from his buddies in the cleric, the Muslim cleric world, going, oh, or you have
at the cleric club.
Yeah, the cleric club. Oh, you're in trouble now.
They're out golfing and they're like, oh man, you know, that's not cool that your daughter's doing that.
We're going to stone you till we find her, then we'll kill her with Salman Rushdie.
Well, Birdman 30-aught is back again, and he posts in on this one, and he says, I'm not a Muslim, but I am the father of a little girl, and speaking as a father, if my daughter ever took up such a profession, there would be a serious jihad, complete with deaths, flames, and explosions of newsworthy magnitude. As a dad, I actually feel sorry for the cleric. And, you know, of course, there's the personal side of this. But seeing someone that, you know... that fanatical just get dethroned like that and a serious cut to, you know, what he's supposedly standing up for, I think is just sweet, sweet justice. I love it. I love seeing stuff like that. Those are exciting stories.
All right, we're going to jump off this one, and we'll be back with more of the BTS Mix right after this.
Being part of the revolution is easy. Star, flag, and dig the mother. Whether you find a great topic or really enjoy one of our podcasts, you can make it even better by taking the time to show your appreciation and applause by giving the material a star, then flag, and finally a dig. This will draw attention to the thread or podcast, and by doing so, you're making a difference and improving the ATS, BTS, and Above Politics experience. So remember, when you find a great thread or podcast, star, flag, and dig the mother. Thanks for being part of the revolution from your friends at the Above Networks, LLC.
The unpleasant noise you are about to hear is not a mistake.
It's the BTS Mix Show with Spencer Tracy and Doc Hancock.
And welcome back to the BTS Mix Show. I'm Spencer Tracy.
And I'm Doc Hancock. And a quick side note to our good friends Q-Ball and Rush. We were supposed to have the big debate this week. And I think it was a combination of things. I must take some personal responsibility and say that I totally dropped the ball this week. And I, as I mentioned a couple shows ago, I'm getting ready for this new job, and I've been running around, scrambling around to do all that. and my time has just completely and absolutely run out, and I'm trying to leave my old job with some dignity and leave there on a good positive note. So I've been, you know, busy as hell training my replacement and excuses, I know. And as we all know, Dave's out in California watching UFOs and eating baked beans. So, you know, by the way, be very careful if you live in California not to walk around with any sort of open flame. Because Dave and Johnny might really drop a surprise in on you on that one. So we will hopefully have the debate next week. We'll be in touch with you guys and hang in there, and let's get some good debate topics, and let's make the first debate really one for the history books.
Guess who I got to see in concert the other day?
Who's that?
Huey Lewis and the News.
Oh, nice, man. I bet that was a pretty good show.
It really was. You know, as I get older, I can actually afford to make the trip to wherever I need to go to see one of my favorite bands from the 80s or 70s that I really enjoy. I got to see Styx and REO Speedwagon, one of my favorite concerts. Love that one. I've been a Styx fan forever. And Tommy Shaw and the guys from Styx, love those guys, and just put on a fantastic show. Kicked major butt. I got to see Fleetwood Mac. And with my job, I got to actually see Elton John, which was kind of cool to see him in concert. Probably nothing I would have done on my own, but it was cool to go to that concert. Now I'm trying to go see the Eagles because I've never seen the Eagles. I want to see the Eagles in concert. And so this kind of leads us into our next thread, which is in the music. Who have you seen live posted by Chisler?
Yeah, and man, Chisler's seen some really great groups. I mean, he too has seen Elton John, and from what I understand, he's just one hell of a performer. Carrie Underwood, you know, of American Idol fame, Ozzy Osbourne of Creepy Bat Cave fame, Justin Timberlake, Aerosmith, Cheap Trick, Good Charlotte, The Rolling Stones, Kanye West, Alice Cooper, In Excess, Sum 41, Simple Plan, Headley, Chilliwack, Great Big C, and Dr. Hook. Quite a diverse group of bands there, Chisler. I got to give you some props for that, man. A very wide variety of tunage that he's hanging in there. And he'd love to see Paul McCartney, John Mayer, AC/DC, The Who, Coldplay, Led Zeppelin, Bedouin Soundclash, and Eric Clapton. All great groups. And man, yeah, I'd love to see all those guys in concert.
Oh, yeah. And, well, right after that, Zeissen 5 has posted a lot. Well, you can obviously tell Zeissen's a heavy metal freak. Love it. Everybody from Rat to Twisted Sister, Alice Cooper, Manson, Static X, and Slayer, just to name a few of the hundreds of bands it looks like. I'm still scrolling down through the list of the different bands that he's seen. You know, one of my favorite bands that I got to see, and a lot of people, you know, go, wow, when did you see them? Well, it was back in the Cotton Bowl, back in the early 90s, but I got to see the Steve Miller Band, which was a great show. I got to see ZZ Top, which is still one of my favorite bands. Love ZZ Top, little band from Texas, and just amazing. As a matter of fact, Billy Gibbons is just one of the finest guitarists. Jimi Hendrix once said that, you know, they said, well, who did you like? Who's one of your favorite guitarists? And he said Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top. Yeah, I don't necessarily think he was with ZZ Top at that point, but he made reference to that. And it's just to be able to see your rock and roll heroes or your music heroes is a neat treat.
Oh, it's great. And he is sick on the guitar. I'm actually learning to play the guitar right now, and I was watching some concert of theirs that they just put on. I think it was in Texas, actually. And that guy is absolutely unreal on the guitar. He's unbelievable. And to watch him do it so effortlessly, you kind of sit there with your jaw dropping open. And as I'm learning now and as I'm watching people play the guitar, it's even more of like a wowza. That guy's amazing.
Yeah, I can't wait to get like Rock Band so I can learn how to play guitar. Or whatever.
Push the red button, push the green button, push the yellow button, push the orange button.
Yeah, it's just for some reason my little acoustic just doesn't have any buttons on it. Damn it.
Yeah.
Well, the site administrator Cracker, who we love and enjoy, posted he went to Elton John, Billy Joel. Golly, and he got backstage passes for that one. That must have been fantastic. Pearl Jam, The Stones, Allman Brothers, Black Crowes, REM. And you get to go see the coolest bands, Cracker.
Yeah, and The Dead. Yeah, wow. The concert for New York, which was incredible. I mean, they had everyone there. That was phenomenal. I still remember. I had that taped and just kept watching it. It was so good.
Yeah, for those of you who have lost your memory because of age or other means, you might want to run through the thread, maybe post some of the bands that you may have forgotten that you've seen, which I, you know, going through here, I'm going, oh, yeah, I did see them. It's in the music category. Who have you seen live? And it's posted. The original poster is Chisler.
Good stuff. And on a excellent performer note, We want to, of course, make mention of the fact that acting legend Paul Newman died this week. And I know I was sitting there watching the news when it broke, and I just kind of sat there dumbfounded. I couldn't believe it. And I know, you know, he's been struggling with a lot of different health situations. And I mean, this guy has just absolutely done everything in life. Talk about a brilliant actor. He was a race car driver. He was a entrepreneur. He was a great humanitarian. And, you know, of course, he had his own food line that he donated all of the profits to charity and really helped a lot of people out with. And this was just one of those individuals that just left such a mark on this planet in such a good way and such a positive force, I think, for everybody. And, you know, had some of the most classical movies of all time. I mean, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid is arguably one of the best films ever made. And he's a huge part of that legend. And he will certainly be missed, man. I was really sad to see this happen.
I was, too. You know, I was in Atlanta about like almost 2 years ago, and I heard someone say on the radio, they were talking about, you know, that the fact that somebody had reported that Newman wasn't feeling well. And of course, you know, he's saying, oh, everything's fine, don't worry about it. And it was obviously cancer, and it really just took off. But I want to make mention of a few things. First of all, you know, is Newman's own brand of popcorn and salad dressing and everything actually started as a practical joke with a friend. They started the company, and then they donated the profits to charities like $750 million or something like that. I mean, just an ungodly amount of money to charities that they made off Newman's own products. And then that money went to charity. So just some fantastic humanitarian work. And, of course, you covered just a marvelous actor.
Oh, just unbelievable. And, I mean, what woman, young, old, middle-aged, doesn't matter, did not have a crush on him? I mean, he was just and yeah, sure, he was a good-looking guy, but his charisma, his whole just aura was just wonderful and lit up the screen and brought so many smiles to so many different people in so many different ways. And, you know, you got to give him a couple thumbs up for that, man. And I hope he's comfortable now and he will be certainly remembered for ages and ages to come. People will obviously be talking about him forever. So a sad, sad day, but a good, good man. And we're sorry to see him go.
All right. Time now for the BTS Mix screen test, Doc.
Oh, man, this is exciting. I always get very excited for the BTS Mix screen test. And Spencer, you've got it this week, man. And I think you got something pretty good for us. What do you think point value it should be worth? What are you thinking?
Oh, probably 700 billion points. What do you think? No, probably not that.
700 billion.
How about we give away 3,000 BTS points if you can name this movie? Listen carefully. Here is your BTS Mix screen test clue.
You are all being royally screwed over by these bureaucrats with their steak lunches, their hunting and fishing trips, their corporate jets and golden parachutes.
All right, so what is that BTS Mix screen test? Good luck.
And it could be worth 3,000 points, man. That's good stuff.
All right. Well, that does it for this edition of the BTS Mix. Doc, it's been a pleasure doing it again with you.
And, of course, a pleasure doing it with you, sir. Have a good week to one and all.
You've been listening to the BTS Mix. If you have a comment, suggestion, an opposing view, or would like to participate in a future show of BTS Mix, please visit the website belowtopsecret.com. The views expressed on BTS Mix do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of the above network, LLC, or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening, and continue to deny boredom by logging on to belowtopsecret.com.